You hear plenty of talk about how wages have stagnated in the United States relative to other parts of the economy. Wages have not kept up in recent years. Then there's the whole issue of real estate, which certainly dropped during the recession, but appears to have rebounded since then. So rising home prices and stagnating wages add up to a problem for many people affording places to live. Housing crisis is the term some people are applying to the situation in Jackson County. And a community conversation planned for Thursday night at the Medford Library will take up the issue. We have three guests with us in the studio. Cindy Dyer is the housing director at Access, Inc., the community action agency in Jackson County. Cindy, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Glad to be here.
Denise James is with us as well. She is the housing program director at Rogue Valley Habitat for Humanity. Welcome back, Denise.
Yeah, thank you.
And we also have with us Tanya Morrow, who's an attorney and a member of the Jackson County Community Conversation Committee. Tanya, thank you for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you for having us, Jeff.
So, Tanya, set up the Community Conversation Series generally and give us some idea of what the general parameters are here.
Yeah, there is a group of us that have, you know, done canvassing over the years, and I did so in my run for county commissioner last year, and realized that you know, people really enjoy being asked what their opinions are. When you go to the door, and you're out there telling them about my candidacy, and I ask them, what do you think are the big issues? And they really love that engagement. So just a group of us started putting on these forums. They're like a town hall kind of forum. And yet the emphasis is that for folks to be able to come out and actually do the talking and share with one another their views about a particular issue, big issues that are facing our community, and learn from one another. So we were fortunate to this is our third one for this year. The first one was on poverty, the second one on transportation, and this is our last one for the year on affordable housing. All those topics have been very timely, and the attendance at the events have been phenomenal. We had like 90 and 80 people the last two, and we expect a big turnout today as well. And what we do is we get folks that in the community that are experts on the issue, but we have them come and just facilitate. So they're there. They do have their specialized knowledge. They just spend a couple minutes talking about their specialized knowledge, but then they just facilitate and they just move the conversation along and provide information as the conversation goes if it's needed. But it's for folks to come out and actually have a voice.
What do you do with the information you obtain from the conversations?
Well, we do a follow-up. We have a questionnaire we want people to fill out, and then we also take some notes during the conference and end up sending out an email to those that signed up in our email list so they know what the results were as far as potential solutions and that kind of thing. It's a nonpartisan conversation, and so we're not advocating any particular type of action. We just want to empower people to some kind of action. So we also have a one-page flyer, or actually it's a two-page flyer now, that lists different agencies that are involved in the work, lists different links for people to get more information about the subject, and lists all of our legislators so they know how to contact them if they feel inspired to voice their opinion to those that they've elected, as well as we've got instructions on how to do letters to the editor. And again, the purpose is to just empower people to some kind of action in our community.
And if by now people are screaming at the radio, when? It's Thursday, this Thursday, December 10th, 6 o'clock till 8:30. At the Medford Public Library large meeting room. So you got a good stretch of time laid out for this, 2.5 hours. Have you needed that in the past?
Yes. It's been hard to just shut down the conversation sometimes. I mean, people do need to leave early sometimes, and that's okay. We ask people just if they need to get up, because we don't stop to just do so quietly and politely. And, you know, we sort of, you know, encourage everybody to make sure the dialogue is polite and not to be focusing attention on any particular facilitator or say anything accusatory. But and so far it's been really a lovely experience, and we've had lots of people coming back, and so it's been a great experience, an opportunity to do this for the community.
Well, let me turn to the people involved directly in housing situations. So Cindy Dyer, the housing director at Access, Inc. First of all, this is being billed as affordable housing crisis in Jackson County. Is crisis a fair term?
I think it is. I think currently, you know, statewide we're having a housing crisis. The vacancy rate is just less than 4% statewide. Here in Jackson County, it's less than 2%, and probably closer to 1%. So, yeah, we do have a housing crisis.
When 4% is considered tight, what's the usual level that you sort of expect
the community
to settle at?
If you're really looking at a healthy market that is both equal to those wanting to rent or purchase and those, being the landlords, sort of equal, you're looking at probably between 5 to 7% vacancy rate is about what a good healthy market would be. Not too many vacancies and not too tight. So when you're talking about, less than 2% or closer to 1%, it's a tight market.
Since this is a market, and the term is well used here, I mean, does that vacancy rate, as low as it is, drive prices up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Prices are starting to outpace the wages for most of the folks that we're seeing that are looking for housing.
Do you have a median figure for rental, for like a two-bedroom rental in Jackson County?
Or whatever your
standard is for...
We have a standard of what we think is affordable. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to vary depending on the income levels and stuff. But what we're really targeting is we target for our rentals people that are earning less than 60% of the area median income. So what we're looking at is our factors here in the community. So right now, the job market, most of our jobs, the wages, the people that are working, the jobs that are available right now are probably people earning less than $24,000 a year. That means that they should probably be paying on a general scale, and again, it's adjusted by family size, but just in a general scale, about $600 a month. And when you're looking at, when I looked at Craigslist earlier this week, we were looking at, 2-3 bedroom units that were ranging between $780 to $1,500. And that was just a snapshot of one particular day that I was looking at it.
And so we are talking rentals here. I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does that change the situation a little bit for you, Denise James? Because you're talking about ownership eventually with Habitat for Humanity, aren't you?
We do ownership. And it does change the game a little bit because people can't afford rent. Just what Cindy was saying, the average rent is probably $850, $900. Mm-hmm. And for people that are making minimum wage, single person, that's working 70, 80 hours a week to be able to afford that. Mm-hmm. The market changes. And for those people that are in that low income range, it's very difficult for them to purchase, which is what we do. We provide home ownership to people that have that low of income. And we manage the costs. We subsidize if we need to. But we make sure that they can afford it once that's complete, once the sale is complete.
We're talking about housing or a housing crisis in Jackson County, if you prefer to use the term, with Cindy Dyer from Access, Denise James from Habitat for Humanity, and Tanya Morrow from Community Conversations Committee in Jackson County. There will be a conversation on this Thursday night, the 10th at 6 p.m. at the Medford Library Public Library Large Meeting Room. You can join the discussion on the exchange right now. Let's talk about housing costs, housing prices, rentals, and the tightness of them, perhaps in your town as well. 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The occupancy rates do tend to run low in Medford. I remember having these conversations, though, 20, 25 years ago, though, Cindy. I mean, why does it not seem to change over time?
Well, it's a combination. You've got people that are moving into the valley. So, people that are moving into the valley, and especially if they're retired folks, they're usually not working. So they're bringing in their income. So that drives up prices in one aspect. So it's really about the jobs and what we have available. And since the economic downturn, so prior to the economic downturn, we had we had issues and stuff, but not nearly as bad. But when we had the downturn, about 2007, 2009, we lost over 5,000 jobs in the high wage category, which is categorized in the charts that I've looked at is above $40,000 a year. So we're not talking extremely high, but the high wage categories. So over 5,000 jobs total, we lost about 8,000 jobs. But since that time, since 2009, we've rebounded in the lower wage categories, but we're still about half of the high wage categories. So really what we've rebounded is in the $24,000 to $35,000 a year annual wage. And so that's where our market is needs to be geared towards, and all the housing has been taken up right now. And builders, we lost a lot of builders during the economic downturn, so building has slowed way down. So it's a supply and demand issue right now for everybody.
You lost jobs at the top then, and they've come back faster at the lower end of the scale.
Much faster, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the workings of a Habitat for Humanity, though. It seems like as much as we see stuff in the news about Habitat for Humanity and houses getting built and stuff, it's not a terribly fast process, though. Is that fair?
That is fair. It's not fast. It takes about 6 months to build a home, and the slowest part about it is that we're fundraising for each one. We provide all of the resources. We do sell the home at the end of that process, but we provide a 30 30-year no-interest mortgage. So it takes quite a while for that funding to come back to us. So that's really the slowest part for us, is that we're having to raise funds as we go along. We don't receive very little from the government, from local municipalities. It's mostly just community involvement with us.
And about how many homes can you build in the course of a year across Jackson County?
We like to build between 4 and 6. Okay. And we'd like to increase that. We're working on some strategic planning to increase that because we see such a need.
And how much, first of all, let's talk about the programs that Access does and how you help people get into rental spaces. And is there any building involved with Access too? I know the Housing Authority of Jackson County will be represented on Thursday as well, but let's come to Access.
We do some building. As Denise said, though, it's slow. We just did get funded to do an additional 17 units. But for us, building is usually about a 2-year process. By the time you put the grant resources together, write the grant, get the funding, go through the planning process, and then actually get something up and running, it's a good 2 years, you know, sometimes a little bit longer depending on the size of the units. So it doesn't happen fast, but we do, and we do have some units available, but right now we have no vacancy, so building slow. There's just more need out there. All of us together are not able to keep up with the demand.
For any of you, does the continued migration of Californians into Oregon continue to be an issue, a pressure certainly on sales of homes in the region? Maybe, Tanya, you might have a better fix on this from talking to all the other people.
It's interesting. I have found that we have a lot of folks moving to our community. It's almost like whenever I go out to the community, engage, it's amazing. 2 or 3 people will say they're new here, but not all of them are from California. Mm-hmm. But they do seem, in large part, to be either retired or newly retired and young yet, or actually, you know, well employed. They're going to be in that higher range. So they're probably buying up the higher end of the market. This is why we've got some other facilitators like Josh Lombard from the Department of Land Conservation and Development. He can talk about, you know, regulatory issues, land use issues that are relevant to, you know, essentially increasing the inventory for this kind of need.
Which is a question I had actually right below that one was about whether Oregon's land use laws become an aid, whether they become a bit of an obstacle, because you're trying the focus is on infill, filling in the urban areas you've got already, instead of sprawling out into the countryside. And I wonder if that slows development down by just enough to maybe retard the growth of new places for people to live.
I would say it's probably a factor for Oregon. There's no doubt about it. And it also will depend on the communities themselves, because communities like Ashland can choose to do infill, which you may have a quicker turnaround and more development, where other communities, they don't choose infill. So you're going to have, you know, larger subdivision developments that have to be done before you actually have an inventory there. So I think that might answer your question. So this is another reason why we got folks like Linda Reed from the City of Ashland Housing Program there. Ashland's got a couple of programs that are a little unique to the Valley. Number one, they had some inclusionary zoning that was grandfathered in before the legislative ban, the statewide ban. And so hopefully she'll have a moment to talk about how they utilize that program. But they also have a trust fund. And so they can use some monies that the city has to address some of these low income issues that they have. And she also can tell us how some of that budget or you know, what that budget looks like and where they use those funds. So, you know, those are some other issues and things that are tools that other local community governments can potentially adopt and use.
Tanya Morrow is an attorney and Jackson County Community Conversation Committee member. The next community conversation coming up Thursday night is called Affordable Housing Crisis in Jackson County. That'll be Thursday, 6 to 8:30 at the Medford Public Library Large Meeting Room. We also have with us Cindy Dyer, the Access Inc. Housing Director, and Denise James, the Housing Program Director at Rogue Valley Habitat for Humanity. You can join this discussion on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Mike in Medford emailed, would Medford benefit from a city-owned housing project, not only to provide housing, but insert some competition in the market, maybe lowering costs? And he says, thank you for everything you do. Let me turn that one to Cindy.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. I think that the private market would build if there's money in it for them. But when you're talking about some of the, just listening to Tanya, when we're talking about, you know, infill, it's not that it can't be done, but you've got some other factors that you're dealing with. Usually it's, there could be that there's old buildings on there that you're taking down. So by the time you do all of those things, you may be able to rebuild, but it's maybe not going to be affordable. So you need those additional resources. If the city were to have a program and they put additional resources to it, would it create some competition? Possibly. But there's, you know, nonprofits that they could create the same. If they had additional resources, they could also make those available for the nonprofits to apply for as well.
His question gets to the larger scope of the government at a lot of levels used to be involved in housing, and I don't know if it just has ceased to be the case or if it's just a slower process now or what has changed over the past 30, 35 years.
I'm not going to
That's a good
that.
Point, though, because I think it's sort of fallen to the nonprofits. I mean, Jackson County Housing Authority, yes, they have their program. Yeah. We've got Access Building Housing. We've got OnTrack Building Housing. Those are two nonprofits. But I think you're right. I think the local governments have chosen as a policy matter, political matter, not to, to be so involved, other than, for instance, the Jackson County Housing Authority. Yeah. But there are other things that local governments can possibly do as well. I mean, another facilitator we have is Amy Moore, and she's a developer. Her and her husband developed the Twin Creeks project out in Central Point, which is sort of a mixed use, mixed density kind of project, it's a great project. And I understand that she's also had some a client or maybe two that have been interested in doing some low income housing, maybe focusing on seniors, but it's been difficult. And I don't know, maybe she'll come and say one of the things that would might help the development community is if the local governments could waive or defer SDC charges for a while so that you can actually get the project going without having those huge upfront costs and paid over time.
Sewer and electrical,
SDC charges, they're valuable to the community, but maybe if we've got a project that is going to, fill this gap in the market, then maybe we can defer those fees and they can be paid over time.
We keep coming back to the term market, and because I get the Argonian at home, in addition to the Mail Tribune, I'm aware of what's going on in the Portland area where landlords, a lot seems to have picked up, at least the Argonian is covering it more lately, where they're giving all their tenants eviction notices, refurbishing the places, and then renting them again, but at much higher rents. And so this is moving people to, they're bumping down through the market then in Portland then, and everybody seems to be paying more in rent as the time goes on. So, when you have the free market forces at work, you're going to have that sort of thing, particularly it seems like in a place like Jackson County, where we're talking a 2% vacancy rate, Cindy Dyer.
Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, I'm hearing the same things here. I don't have anything to substantiate that, but I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that, they're raising the rents and people are being forced out of their homes. So, we're also hearing that it's costing people a lot of money to try and rent a place, screening fees and that type of thing. And a lot of the folks that we're working with as well is that the market is tight, but we're dealing with a population that, they may have a blemish on their credit or some other issue. So they're going to get bumped before anybody else. So that makes it – that just kind of, compounds the problem, that we're having in trying to keep people housed, get them housed.
Is there still an overall state? It seems like anytime you talk about public housing, the word public in front of housing makes a few people cringe. And I think there's still a demonstrably a NIMBY effect when people start talking about housing projects. Yeah. That's another bad word. Or building public housing in neighborhoods that are established already. I mean, does this still create an issue for creating good housing?
We see that issue as well. When we're building neighborhoods and people see that we're coming in, people think that we're bringing in the low-income projects.
Really? And so how do you counter that? What kind of massaging do you have to do with the neighborhood to try to...
We really try to provide a lot of education to our homeowners before they move in so that they learn to become a good neighbor and to take care of their property and their home so that they don't appear to be run down or look like the projects. I'd also like to address a little bit of the previous question. I'm on the City of Medford Housing Commission, and I think back to that question about government running housing units. I think they're not that good out of it, I believe. From my standpoint on that commission, I agree with Tanya that the government would prefer to provide some ways for the nonprofits to do what they do best at.
So a partner, but not getting into the business themselves. Mm-hmm. And have there been discussions then on the Medford Commission that you're part of to move in that way?
I'm trying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm advocating for some of that. Yeah.
What's the toughest part of convincing people then? What's the major objection?
Well, I think some of the regulatory barriers, SDC fees. You know, it's money. Mm-hmm. It's money. City doesn't want to let that go.
Yeah.
So, Tanya, where do you go with affordable housing crisis in Jackson County? I mean, do you end up developing actual policy ideas that come out of these conversations, like the one you're planning on Thursday night?
Not necessarily, no. Again, we want everybody to join in, so we don't. Again, we're not advocating any kind of particular plan or policy or developing any kind of campaign. We just want people to come and have a discussion and talk about their views about it. And then if they feel empowered, like I said, we give them some tools to go and continue having a voice is what this program is all about primarily. So
letters to the editor and contact your congressman and your state legislator.
Yep. And again, like I said, our handout tells them where they can find more information, agencies that might be willing to have volunteers and that kind of thing. So yeah.
Now I notice you're actually providing food at this, or at least until it lasts.
Yes, we do. Yes, we have. We always cater with spoons, and so you can come get soup and nosh and some bread and until it lasts. And we expect to have a lot of people out there tonight. Thursday night at
6. So, and I also noticed you're talking about potentially providing transportation. Is that going to happen?
You know, we put that out there in case we get enough interest, and nobody ever calls us. But if there's enough interest, then we've talked to Access about possibly assisting us, getting a binder, insurance binder, finding a driver, and actually trying to get people there. We understand there's a large part of our community that often doesn't get to come to these kind of events because we don't have the right level of transportation, public transportation these days. That, in other words, this program goes too late for them to get on a bus and go home.
No night buses, yep. Sure. Well, the next community conversation is about the affordable housing crisis in Jackson County, as it's termed. That'll be this Thursday, December 10th, 6 to 8:30 at the Medford Public Library Large Meeting Room. Tanya Morrow is part of the Community Conversation Committee. Denise James is the Housing Program Director at Rogue Valley Habitat for Humanity. Cindy Dyer is the Housing Director at Access, Inc. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.